Hello and welcome to All Saints and St Andrew's online contemporary service. A very warm welcome to you all as we gather to worship. Now, it seems ages since I last led a recorded service, so it's lovely to be back with you. And if you're joining us for the first time or you're seeing me for the first time, just to introduce myself, I'm Reverend Peter Myers and I'm the curate here at St Andrew's and All Saints. Well, this morning we're going to continue in our teaching series of what it means to be called to be God's people. And that's all in the context as we unlock around the nation, as we continue to draw into a more open life, and therefore what it means for us as the church to be God's people. Not what we're used to, what we perceive, but digging into the scriptures to relearn what it means to be the body of Christ here in Malvern or wherever you are listening. So, and unpicking that a little bit further, today we're going to look at what it means to be called to submit. So I hope that doesn't suddenly scare you. That's a topic that some people might suddenly feel a little bit nervous about. Totally understandable, but we're going to delve into that. And Reverend David Ritchie is going to open the scriptures for us on that topic later. So let us enter into a place of worship, knowing that wherever we are with others worshipping the Lord. And I'd like to start by reading Psalm 24 to us. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He who receives blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The King, Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. As we worship, wherever you are, welcome the King of glory in and ultimately into your hearts. And before we sing our first song, a couple of words of sentences to say together. O Lord, open our lips and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Give us joy of your saving help and sustain us with your life-giving spirit. Let us sing, wherever you are, beautiful Saviour.
The blood that never fails, I'll sing.
Beautiful Saviour. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your beauty, your mercy, your kindness, your gentleness, your love. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come today to be refreshed in the knowledge of who you are, restored and encouraged by your word, to be encouraged to be the people that you call us to be refueled today, where we've poured out this week, we can be restored, refreshed, recharged during our worship today, ready to go back into the world to be your people, gleaming with your light and your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, casting your mind back to last week, I hope that you listened to the teaching last week where Alice Bruce was teaching into what it means to be a community that loves each other and the challenges that that means. Remember the context of the letter to the Romans is Paul is writing to a mix of cultures and of peoples and of backgrounds, trying to work it out what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. They're all sitting there saying, well, do I have to do this? And you must do this and that. But he is calling us to love each other, and he spoke into that. And one of the things that Alice mentioned was the call to be hospitable to one another. But what did hospitality mean? And the question about the fact that it didn't necessarily mean just getting round and having food together, though that is a wonderful way of being hospitable. But it was about making space in our hearts and in our lives and in our thinking for others. And I wondered how you have done this week. It's very challenging. But I wonder, once again, to keep challenging, what does it mean to make space in your heart, in your daily lives, and in your heart and mind and your thoughts for others, and pursuing hospitality and as an expression of loving one another? Well, I offer that out. We offered something last night. We had about 25 people around for a barbecue just to connect, just to be together and discover what it means to be together. So perhaps that's one idea that you might host. But it doesn't have to be around food. It could just be in your heart, a gentle heart, a word here. But today we are talking about being called to submit. And we're going to be quite interactive later in the service. And I want to ask you now to, perhaps you need to pause this, but get a piece of paper and a pen. And we are just going to spend a moment reflecting in our minds. And I would really encourage you to write down all those people or organisations that are, let's put it, authorities in which you are part of, and authorities over you. So now that might be slightly uncomfortable, but let me give you an example. We obviously have the government. They are an authority over us. We have local councils. We might be in the workplace and we have a boss. If you're a young person at school, then you would have your teachers. There may be parents. I hope there are parents that are parenting children and others. So where, if for you, are the areas of authority as you understand it? So I've got my pen. I've got my piece of paper here. We're just going to spend a minute. I want you to write down and think, what are the authorities around you? Okay, how are you doing? I suddenly found ones that I had forgotten when I was preparing this, like the PCC over us, the governing our church. I have to say I'd forgotten until now the bishop. And of course Dave is the rector here, and he is my training incumbent at this time. So those are a couple more that I suddenly thought. Now I want you to hold those. And we're going to come back to that in our time of prayer. Well, let us remember that we don't always freely, perhaps, submit to those authorities, and we don't do always what we should. So let's take a moment to reflect and confess where we've fallen short this week. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So therefore, let us confess our sins, where we've got it wrong this week, where we have been selfish, where we've been rebellious against the authorities around us, and many other areas where we've fallen short. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Let us say these words. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our fellow neighbours in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is in the past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all sins, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Val is now going to read us our passage, and then David is going to open the scriptures up for us.
Today's reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7, submission to the governing authorities. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's really good to be sharing God's word with you today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of the scriptures. As we reflect on your word to us this day, make us open to your wisdom, receptive to your will, and courageous in our response. In the love of Jesus, our Saviour, teacher, and friend. Amen. Called to be God's people. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or as one modern translation simply puts it, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mould. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mould. And Paul goes on in these later chapters of Romans to show how our discipleship affects every area of our lives. First, ourselves, as we're called to use the gifts that God has given us. Then to each other within the family of God. Then to those who we may find difficult or who despise us for our faith. But then most controversially and surprising of all, there's our responsibility to behave as conscientious citizens of the state. Or as we read a moment ago, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. I don't mind telling you, I groaned when I realized I had to preach on this passage. In 40 years of ministry, I've never spoken on this passage before. And it's not completely surprising, because in the Revised Common Lectionary, that's the 3-year cycle of readings from all of Scripture, this passage never appears once. I don't know why this should be so, for the transformed relationships we enjoy not only include our Christian brothers here in church, but also the wider community in which we live and work. We don't opt out of society. And so Paul says here, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Everyone, there's no exception. Everyone must, there's no choice. Everyone must submit to some distant, unknown authority. How boring. It feels so counter to our 21st century ears, with incessant cries for democracy and freedom. Is this merely a call to maintain the status quo? And so it's hardly surprising that the relationships between church and state have been notoriously controversial down the years. There have been periods when the state controls the church, and present-day examples must include the totalitarian regimes of Russia, of China, of North Korea. Then there's the examples of theocracy, where the church controls the state. Today, I wonder whether the Vatican City would qualify. Then there are periods where there's compromise between church and state, where the state favours the church, and the church kowtows to the state in order to retain its favour. Ideally, however, there have been times of partnership between church and state where Christians are given the opportunity to act as salt and light. And interestingly, you know, I think I'm right in saying that there are more committed Christian MPs in the House of Commons now than there have been for many years, and boy, do we need them. So to return to the passage, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. If you find that extraordinary now, it was even more extraordinary then when Paul took pen to paper. For at the time, there were no Christian authorities. Indeed, within a short time, Christians would face intense persecution for their faith. So why does he tell us to submit? Because we read, the authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. To put it bluntly, we submit, we obey, because the authorities are there. They've been given the job by God himself. It may be that we don't appreciate the politics of the person holding office, or even a government for that matter. That doesn't exempt us from our responsibility to show respect, to submit. As one writer expressed it, the man, the woman, the leader is a mere mortal, but the office he or she holds is one ordained of God and for the good of society. And even in such a pagan society as Rome, as the Roman Empire, there was good order, excellent communications. Think of Roman roads, for example. And for much of the time, there was peace, the Pax Romana. Indeed, Paul himself benefited from the law and order of Roman society. On several occasions, he was rescued from a bloodthirsty mob by the Roman soldiers. He was given freedom to speak by Roman proconsuls. And to cap it all, he even got a free ticket to Rome from the government, even if he did have to cope with a minor inconvenience of a shipwreck on the way. God delegates his authority on earth. We see that in everyday examples, don't we? He delegates his authority to parents, employers, elders. And it may often be that those in the leadership of nations are not necessarily sympathetic. And yet, there are several examples of Scripture where this happens. Think of Cyrus, king of Persia. God says to him, "This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of. I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me." Isn't that extraordinary? Everyone must submit to the authorities because they've been given the job by God. All leaders, like the rest of us, are fallible. We may disagree with their policies. We may disagree with the hypocrisy of their private lives. But they have been given the job by God, and one day they too will be answerable to him. Alcuin, the 8th century scholar, poet and pastor, warned Ethelred, the reigning king of the time. He said, "Whether you will it or not, you will have God as judge." So we submit to the governing authorities because they've been given the job by God. But we submit also because they're God's servants. "For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he doesn't bear the sword for nothing. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants." One writer, reflecting on this passage, has called it God's strange servants. And it is strange, for if you're talking about a prime minister or a president, it would never occur to you to think of being a servant as part of their job description. Servant. Paul uses the same word as he uses elsewhere of ministers of the church, diaconi, deacons. The point he's making is that those who serve the state as members of parliament, civil servants, magistrates, police, social workers, are just as much ministers of God as those who serve the church as pastors, administrators, teachers, evangelists. They're not to think of themselves. No, they're there to serve others. An amazing example of this, believe it or not, is a former prime minister, William Pitt the Younger. He was the youngest prime minister, I think, ever to hold office. And he died at the early age of 46. He's buried in Westminster Abbey. And if you can find his memorial stone, you'll see this strange comment. And I quote, lamenting the irreparable loss of that great and disinterested minister. What a strange thing to write. The irreparable loss of that great and disinterested minister. Disinterested, not in the sense of not being bothered or couldn't care less. No, disinterested in serving himself with money or titles or social standing. Indeed, Pitt's contemporaries would say his only interest was in the country he served until his health gave way. So the governing authorities are servants appointed by God to lead a well-ordered society. But in order to do this, they need the funds. Verse 6, "This is also why you pay taxes, to fund teachers for education, to pay the police for protection, to pay the NHS for our welfare." I'm sure you've heard the lovely story of the man who'd recently come to faith. And he wrote to the tax inspector saying, "A few years ago, I cheated on my income tax. My conscience has been troubling me, and I haven't been able to sleep. So I enclose a cheque for £500. P.S., if I still can't sleep, I'll send you the rest." We are to obey the law, not just because we're afraid we're going to get caught. For example, and I am guilty here, we don't keep to the speed limit just because there's a radar trap ahead, do we? Nor do we pay our taxes, because we're afraid now that with all the sophisticated computer systems, we'll be caught out. No, verse 5, it's necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. The Christian's reason is that it is the right thing to do before God. Our conscience must be clear. And so our taxes go towards our health, our protection, our education, and also to those who are less fortunate than ourselves in our society. The homeless, the vulnerable, the unemployed, the sick, the disabled. And incidentally, we do need to hold Parliament to account for the proposed reduction in overseas aid. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. So we may complain about our government and those who lead us, but we have much, so much, to be thankful for. And so it all ends happily ever after. No, it doesn't. For we've been interpreting the passage in the light of our circumstances. We live in what is by and large a well-ordered, peaceful society with a democratically elected government. But supposing you'd lived in Russia when Stalin was in control, the governing authority, what then? Or in Nazi Germany when Hitler reigned supreme? Or today in North Korea, where even to possess a Bible, discovery of that, will mean instant and lifelong incarceration in a prison camp. What then? Or to put it another way, are there ever circumstances in which it is right not to submit to the governing authorities? I believe there are, and Scripture gives several examples. When King Nebuchadnezzar issued a command that all his subjects bow down and worship his golden image, three blokes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to obey. When King Darius made a decree that for 30 days no one should pray to any god or man except himself. And those who broke this edict are literally to be thrown to the lions. In the New Testament, when the apostles were threatened by the temple authorities, stop speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, never do it again. They responded, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Someone expressed it in these terms. We are to submit right up to the point where obedience to the state would entail disobedience to God. But if the state commends what God forbids, or forbids what God commands, then our plain Christian duty is to resist, not submit, to disobey the state in order to obey God. Or as the apostle simply summed it up, we must obey God rather than man. Or dare I say, think of Jesus himself. He healed on the Sabbath. That was breaking the law. He turned over the tables of the money changers. That was even worse. And he memorably declared, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. His refusal to give his all to the state cost him his life. Caesar is not Lord. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor, theologian, a founding member of the Confessing Church in Germany and confronting the evil Nazi regime. And he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he knew all about that. For his unwavering stand against the ruling authorities, he was imprisoned and then later put to death. He said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, not to act is to act. And so what about ourselves? Are we armchair spectators of all this? We find it very helpful to applaud those who break the law in distant countries where the governing authorities are of oppressive or Islamic regimes. However, as one writer put it, when it comes to our own culture, nation, laws and authorities, the scripture turns to stone in our hands. And we often see breaking the law as automatically sinful. Think for a moment, just over this past 12 months, where we've witnessed anti-lockdown rallies, Black Lives Matter campaigns, and Extinction Rebellion demonstrations. There have been anti-immigration protests, anti-abortion demonstrations, you name it. Is breaking the law always wrong? I realise in all this that, you know, we've raised more questions than answers. But maybe as we reflect on this passage, call to submit, we shall realise afresh not only our responsibility to those who lead us, the governing authorities, but even more our responsibility, our Christian commitment, which influences every part of our lives. For when all is said and done, it is not Caesar, but Jesus who is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, there are so many questions that we have when we read and reflect on a passage like this. And we realise there are no easy answers. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you'd blot out of our minds anything that is not of you and help us to discern, Lord, what you are saying to us through your word, to challenge us and to encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, David, for your opening that scripture, challenging topic, isn't it? And in a moment, we're going to take this into prayer. But before we do that, we're going to dwell and listen to a worship song, Trust and Obey. Trust and Obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other Jesus but to trust and obey. when in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him. Trust you more.
So now let's take this into prayer. Some of us are we'll find issues over authority, submitting, coming in, staying within the rules, harder than others. Some of us would have experienced, quite frankly, abusive authority. And the whole issue of authority and submitting to authorities may be a very painful one. And I don't want to miss that for you at all. And well done for hanging in there with the teaching. And so let us take that into prayer. And I'm going to leave you to do the praying for yourself. And I'd love you to get that list of the authorities that are in and around your life and world that we did at the beginning of the service. Perhaps you've thought of others. And we're going to spend some time in prayer now. And this is what I'd love you to do wherever you are. Is firstly, to bring where there has been painful authority for you and your experience, is to go to the Lord with that. And say, Lord, just recognize with the Lord where there has been abuse or difficult authority. If you can, if this is the moment to forgive, or forgive in faith, knowing that that circumstances will be judged by the Lord in due course. So I'd love you to come to the Lord and to be able to forgive. Also to then ask the Lord for forgiveness where you have chosen not to submit to the authorities. In whatever small way, but just to recognize that we all get challenged by this. And then finally, to pray for each of those areas of authority. Pray for the government. Pray for the PCC. Pray for the bishop. Pray for your work bosses. Pray for the teachers. Whatever is in your context, we're going to do that. So some music's going to play now. And then we'll come back. Let us pray. going to let us draw us back and let me close us in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, you've heard our prayers. You know where we've fallen short. You know where we've been hurt by authority. And you've heard our prayers for those in authority. And Lord, we thank you for all those who give themselves over to leading, to governing. And we pray for hearts of mercy, of hearts that aspire to worship you in their governing, Lord. And we thank you. I heard this week that there are more born-again Christian MPs in Parliament than there have been for many, many years. And we praise God for that. So, Lord, hear our prayers. And let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we're now going to sing once again as we draw our service together to an end. So let us be a people who, resurrender, but surrender our hearts, firstly to God, and then for the civil authorities around us. For any area that we are not surrendered, let us be surrendered once again. So just before I say a blessing and we finish, a couple of notices. Always lots of information in the weekly newsletter, so please look at that. But two things to say. Eddie's leaving due is on the 29th of August, that's Sunday. So we're hoping to have a hog roast and some other sort of outdoor fair activities. We would love to know whether you're coming or if you're not coming, because then we can sort out catering from that side. So if you are not coming, or if you're coming or not coming, could you let us know and we will develop a list. It's just good to know, so we can sort that out. The other thing is new wine online, and here's a video from Dave telling you all about that.
Hi there, everybody. We want to tell you about something exciting that is happening this summer. Many of us normally, early on in August or at the end of July, end up going to New Wine, which involves some fantastic camping in the rain and the wind. And for some people, that's just not their cup of tea. But the exciting thing this year is that we're going to do New Wine from church at St Andrew's and All Saints. So New Wine is going to be broadcasting all their sessions online. That's going to be free access for everybody. And so we've decided to put on the morning session, which will be at 11 o'clock, and the evening session, which will be at 7 o'clock, on at church each day. It's going to be either here at St Andrew's, or when we're preparing for Christie's wedding, it's going to be up at All Saints. And so we would love to invite you to come and watch the sessions with us. We're going to watch them on the big screen, and then we're going to have our own prayer ministry that we will offer as well. There'll be no need to book for the morning or evening sessions for people from St Andrew's and All Saints. And on the Sunday, we will be having it for our St Andrew's services, morning and evening. So it starts on Thursday, the 29th of July, and finishes on Tuesday, the 3rd of July. But the exciting thing is that it's not just for adults, because there's some exciting stuff happening for the children.
That's right. I've been getting out all my bunting ready for our New Wine Kids Festival, which is going to be happening every morning from the Friday to the Tuesday. At the same time as the adult celebration, we'll be having lots of fun with games and videos and songs and crafts and everything else that you can think of that we can do at festival. We might even be having ice cream.
And the great thing is too, is that after the morning session, which is where the children will be in, at lunchtime we're going to have a bring your own picnic lunch, where we can just have that chance like we would at New Wine to sit around and chat and reflect together and just have fun together. And then after the evening session each day, we're going to get some fire pits out, and we're going to be sitting out in the church grounds in fire pits, with the fire pits, not in fire pits. And we invite you to bring your drinks, and we'll pretend that we're camping without having to have the joy of actually camping. So we'd love you to come and join us. Anyone is welcome. Come for one session or come for them all. Thursday, 29th of July until Tuesday, the 3rd of August. It's going to be fantastic, and we pray that God's going to do some really big stuff amongst us. So New Wine at home, come and join us.
Brilliant. See you there.
So that's New Wine Online. Do come and join us if you can. So let me finish with a blessing and prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are God's people. Help us to continue to aspire to be your people here in Malvern or wherever we are. And that to remember that we are a called to submit to the civil authorities and those around us. And so, Lord, as we go into the new week, help us to go with submitted hearts, desiring to honour and glorify you in all that we do. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us, now and always. Amen. Bless you, have a lovely week, and look forward to joining you in due course. Take care. Bye-bye.